What is God's will for your life? I mean, that's a huge question, Dad, that I'm sure you've gotten a lot over the years. I've gotten it a few times.
Oh, absolutely.
People can almost take this to the extreme. I've had people ask, you know, what's God's will for the car that I want to buy or the house I'm going to live in? Is it really that specific?
Well, I think that there's two extremes. I think the one is that people want specifics on all of those detailed aspects of their lives, where God will give some general principles, but he also wants us just to make decisions and own those decisions ourselves without blaming him for what we're doing. But the other extreme is that some people don't even care.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they're going to date who they want to date, and they're going to do the things that they want to do, and they feel like, oh, what does God have to do with this?
That's right.
And the fact is, he has everything to do with it, and as he should have everything to do with every part of our lives. So,
well, interestingly enough, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul actually tells us what God's will is for our life, and you're going to hear that today in this chapter.
All right, so let's get right into this.
You're listening Between the Lines, by the way.
And you're Junior and I'm Scott, so. Well, let's get started in chapter 4. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 1. How many verses do we have here?
Is it 18?
So I'll start off. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor.
Well, so there it is. God's will for your life is to be holy.
Yeah.
And set apart.
And that's what that word holy means. It means to be unique and different, that we should not be fitting in with the rest of the world. It doesn't mean we should stand out like sore thumbs, but we should be standouts in that we are God's special people, and so we should not just fit in.
Yeah. Well, and I love God has a nickname for his people all throughout the scripture. God's nickname for you is peculiar people.
Yeah, I love that term.
I love my peculiar people.
You are a peculiar people. And it's kind of a cool thought that people would look at us and think, huh, you know, they're different, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
I don't know if I believe what they believe, but I like their life.
Yeah. All right, so verse 5, not in lustful passion like the pagans who did not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you.
It's a serious matter.
Yeah, this is what God wants. It's his law. It's the principles that he has set up this universe and all of social interactions based on. And when we disobey what his principles, then we do harm to all of those relationships.
Yeah.
All right, you want to pick up in verse 9?
It says, but we don't need to write you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Now, Dad, Macedonia is just north of where we're at right now, isn't it?
Well, it's north of Greece.
Okay.
So, yes, in the sense that if we would have continued on from when we were in Istanbul and followed that peninsula straight west, then we would have gone into Macedonia.
Okay. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them more. Make it your goal to live a quiet life. I love this verse, by the way. This is a verse that I reflected on a lot last year.
Could almost say simple life quiet, simple life.
Yeah.
That we don't have to have something exciting going on all the time. In fact, those who do, when that is your aim, I mean, they just burn out in their desires and wind up in just real difficult emotional state.
Yeah. Well, I just gave a devo with our staff last week. It just talking about how success and faithfulness
is
boring.
Yeah, that was great. Yep.
So aim to live a simple life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Mm. And growing up, Dad, you were often encouraging me to work with my hands. There's something to that.
There is.
Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like other people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died.
And that is the hope that Christians throughout the ages have looked forward to, that Jesus is going to return, and it may be within our lifetime. and it may not. But either way, that we have that constant hope. And even if we die before that takes place, before he returns, then we will return with him. That's the promise that he gives us.
Well, and Dad, you've done a lot of funerals over the years. I've done quite a few funerals. Mm-hmm. And there is something very different about the believer, or a funeral of a believer versus a non-believer.
Oh,
very, very
radically different. Yes. It's, and of course, when it's a person where you are almost certain that they were not a believer, and the family even tells you so, or oftentimes it's a funeral where the people, the participants, people are there. The person you're doing the funeral for wasn't a believer, and the people, the family, they're not believers. Yeah. Man, it just feels dark and hopeless.
Heavy. Verse 15 says, "We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." Verse 18, so encourage each other with these words.
Yeah, that's a beautiful promise. That's what we often refer to as the rapture of the saints, where we believe that those who have already died will be resurrected, and at the same time that believers who are still on this earth will be caught up to meet Christ in the air, and those who are the resurrected bodies of those believers that have gone before us will be rejoined with their spirits who are already with Christ. Okay. And we will all meet together with Jesus.
That's right. All right, well, it's Proverbs chapter 27 is the corresponding proverb for today.
Yeah, there's a great verse here, verse 9, that I think is such an encouragement. "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." And, you know, the fact of the matter is this has been proven, actually. There's been a number of studies that oftentimes just sitting next to a friend having coffee and pouring out your heart, that conversation in and of itself is therapeutic. In fact, there is as much success in that conversation than there is in that. This is what the data shows anyway, that there is in professional counseling. It's just that a lot of people have nobody that they can really talk to. Yeah. And I warn you about this. It needs to be a spiritually minded, godly friend who understands the Bible. And that's one of the reasons why we offer biblical counseling, is so that people have someone that they can talk to. But the fact is, that's one of the reasons God's given us, has given us friends.
That's right.
So we can open up and talk, but also give and receive counsel.
Well, I think a good proverb to pair with that is the wounds of a friend. Friends don't just validate you. That's
right.
What the enemy does. The kisses of the enemy, as Proverbs says. But a good friend is going to not just validate, but he's also going to wound and encourage.
Well, and that's the danger we often step into, because sometimes even when we go and look for advice, we give an indicator to the person we're talking to of what we want, what we want to do. Yeah. And so because they care about us and they want to encourage us, oftentimes the tendency is for them then to simply validate what we're already thinking. But good Christian friendship and good counsel is about having discernment and thinking through what the whole concepts are surrounding whatever this decision is, and giving honest counsel.
That's right. That's good. All right, well, today is National Red Cross Day.
Hmm.
And actually, I kind of find this fitting, Dad, because and a lot of people don't know this, but the Red Cross was founded much in faith.
As a Christian organization,
yes. Yes, and as well as a lot of universities.
Yep.
Now, you don't necessarily, I'm not putting down the Red Cross, but just in general, you see a lot of universities straying away from that, from their Christian roots. And even the Red Cross, I would say, at least is a little bit more quiet on the matter, maybe at best. But I find that fitting, because you and I right now, and with a busload of people, we're on our way to a place called Pergamum in Scripture. And Jesus warned Pergamum, the church in Pergamum, hey, you're straying away, you're compromising, you're adopting the cultural values.
Yeah, one time you were strong and you don't have the same strength of faith that you did at one time.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we end it, I'm sitting next to Brock here on the bus, Dad, and I figured we could we could just hear from Brock for a second, just hear about how this trip is going.
We might
so far.
Want to say it's Brock Pearson, not your brother, Brock.
Yeah, not your son, Brock. Brock Pearson.
And there's a couple of other people that I was I wanted to interview and talk to, but I've got Hannah sitting next to me, and she's refusing to say anything at all. Hannah, do you even listen to Between the Lines?
Yes, I do listen.
Okay, but you don't want to answer any questions?
No.
So we'll go to Brock instead. Brock, what is your favorite so far on this trip? I mean, what is the favorite thing that you've seen?
Well, first of all, this has really been a cool experience to be here with the bridge. And didn't think I was going to come, but Diane, my wife Diane, twisted my arm to be here, and I'm so glad she did.
She's also another one who refused to talk on a microphone, though.
That's another story.
Yeah.
But it was so cool to be at Troas yesterday, yeah, and to walk where Paul walked, and just to think that what we were looking at was something that he was seeing when he was there.
Yeah.
It was just so cool. And
we walked the very street that he would have walked down to the harbor. That was cool.
That was amazing. And just to do the message there yesterday was just really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, but everything that we've been to has been just amazing so far.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, and we're glad you came as well, Brock, as well as this whole group. I mean, we have 32 people on this trip, and it's been a blast.
It has been. Oh, cool. All right. Well, hey, make it a good Wednesday today.
We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless.